The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hey guys. Oh, rounding out the week. It's Thursday. I'm in my kitchen. Noah's here. Hey Noah.
Hey, how's it Thursday already?
I mean, it's early. I'm not going to lie. This is the earliest we've done this show in a while ever. I have a long day ahead of me. I have a COVID test I have a COVID test when we're supposed to be doing this show. So I'm going to be late to it because everything, this is how I prepare my life, is like one thing just leads into the next. And then just watch Andrew walk through the room. He's supposed to give me my private time during this, but why are you going in that bathroom, I wonder? He just went from his own bedroom to our bathroom, in like our shared bathroom. Oh, okay. No, he did it, he said. Oh, no, I'm good. Thank you. Andrew just walked through. He's going to get coffee for himself. We were just talking, Noah and I, before the show started, that we got so many voice messages from people. Thank you so much for... I just appreciate everyone, writing back and enjoying the show and telling us that you listen to Silver Springs, or that you left a voicemail, or I don't know, just the fact that you listen means a lot to me. So thank you. What a great week of shows. I have the longest day ever. I am hosting the MTV Movie and TV Unscripted Awards, in case I didn't tell you that yet, which is it's going to be like the VMAs, MTV Movie Awards, that kind of thing, but it's a new one that they've made just for me. Just kidding, they didn't make it for me, but they asked me to do it, and I'm so excited because it was on my plan, for, I don't really set goals for myself, but
bucket list.
Thought, you know, it's on my, like, these are the steps that I see for myself. Like, I see hosting SNL next year. And then I don't really care, though. You know what? I got to be honest with you guys. I'm done trying to be something that has already been, like, I'm done. I don't want to, like, I got to copy this person's career because they did this in this order. But this is kind of the trajectory you go when you start becoming more well-known as you do the MTV award. Like, Sarah Silverman, Amy Schumer, they've all done the same, gone through the same thing. Tiffany Haddish, you host the, like, any comedian, Aziz, you start out with the MTV Awards. If you watch these things, I've been paying attention my whole life, this is kind of how it goes. But yeah, a lot of work is coming up, and this is weird though, because like I don't know if I'm just like lazier. This is my fear of being lazy. Or I just am so, I don't have any pressure. People are like, wow, that's a lot of pressure. And I just don't feel it. It's not that I don't care, but I really don't care, because I'm going to try my best. And we're taping it on Thursday. So a week from today, I have a week to, like, I haven't even like really dug into the script or thought of jokes yet. Like, I'm going to do most of my work in the days leading up. Like, I'm finishing a term paper the night before. And I don't know if that's, I mean, I have a writing staff, so I feel okay. But like, for me, I'm such a control freak that when I'm doing a roast, which this is as big of a platform as a roast, maybe not. Well, yeah, it's big. But when I'm gearing up for a roast, I am obsessive and I overprepare, and the whole time I'm stressed out. And I don't know if I would not approach a roast that way now, because I'm a different person after COVID and working on myself and liking myself more and just knowing that I can't control what people think about me. So it's not, there's no point in trying to be the best, because even when you're the best, people hate you. And even when you've tried your hardest, like, I don't know. I don't know if it's that, but I'm feeling a little tinge of guilt for how I keep pushing writers' meetings, because I'm like, we have enough material. I feel good. We have a week. I don't need to be on a Zoom call and just tell you guys these jokes are funny. I haven't had time to write any, so I feel like I'm not contributing enough. I just feel, um, I feel backed up. No, I feel like I can't give anyone in my life enough. There's just too many things.
I want to go back to you saying how like you feel like maybe your work is kind of effortless. I was just having a conversation yesterday about metal bands that I know, and ones that are successful are the ones that kind of like are just doing it and it comes naturally and they don't care too much about getting anywhere, you know. And then the ones who like really try so hard and are kind of kid about it are the ones that never succeed, no matter how hard, no matter how many people they know, how many contacts, who they're working with, it just never works out for them. And I think that in order to put art out there and truly connect with people, you have to have that kind of like not caring about it feeling.
Yes, I agree with you. You have to, well, but then there's, I do agree that people like you more when they don't see so much effort or when they really know that you're comfortable with yourself and you're not trying to, because this is all about love. Like, we all just want to be loved and admired, like, especially people who are hungry for fame. We just want people to like us. And what's more detestable than wanting someone to like you? There's nothing more. Like, kicking puppies? Like, it's disgusting when someone's, that's what kuh is based on. The concept of kuh is that you are trying to get people to think you're cool because you are so insecure that you're not, that you need to do this thing that you wouldn't do unless people's eyes were on you. If you're just joining the show, kuh is a term that we've coined, I coined in high school with my friends, to describe when people try to be cool for others around them to see. And it's definitely dependent on others seeing it, like peeling out in a parking lot, revving your engine, blasting music really loud that you think people will be like, oh my God, he listens to this, he's cool. And by the way, everyone can be kuh, everyone. Sunglasses are cool, kuh. A lot of times fashion's kuh. Just anything that you're doing that's like, you just want to go, kuh, look at that guy, he thinks he's so kuh. So I'm like, trying is kuh. Like, everyone who tries is like, but then everyone says you have to like, then you look at people who are extremely successful. Like, there's this book called The Talent Code, and it's about how talent is not real, and that this is my theory. Ever since I read this book, I've known that like, I am born with a certain level of like, you know, predisposition for comedy and stuff. Like, my brain, if I was raised by another family, I might have had a predisposition for comedy based on the way my brain is. If I was adopted, had all my genetics. But nerd, like, I just got, someone the other day was like, wow, people, you have achieved more than, like, you know, 95% of people set out to do what you do and they don't achieve it. And I go, honestly, I think it's probably like 99.99999. Like, you know, people that want to be famous, you know, and like give it their best. It's the odds are against you. However, that's not because I'm extraordinary. I mean, I am extraordinary in the sense that like it's out of the ordinary, but it doesn't mean that I'm not special because I didn't choose to be born with a brain that's good at being obsessed with doing comedy and obsessed with working hard. I didn't choose to be born with parents that made me feel just loved enough that I felt I was special, but just unloved enough that I needed to get attention from strangers. I didn't choose to be born with a brain that my parents' love wasn't enough, because my sister's brain, it was enough for her to not seek strangers. For me, I required more. And I also didn't choose to be born with, you know, none of this is my, and people go, but you worked hard. I didn't choose to be born as someone who could work hard. There's no free will. I didn't choose any of it. It's all based on how your brain was born and how you were raised. So I'm lucky is the bottom line. I'm lucky to be here with you. I'm lucky to have this show. I'm lucky to have your listenership. I'm lucky to have Andrew, who already returned and who I have to say cried last night because of your voice messages. We had said goodnight. I went to my bedroom. I am like, he didn't know what I could have been doing in there. I could have been full sash, you know what I'm saying? And he goes, Nikki, and it's across my apartment to go to my, like, he's not in my neck of the woods once we say goodnight. Like, I can be pretty loud in there and he won't hear any of my howling. And he goes, Nikki, and I'm like, what is he doing outside my door? We just said goodnight a half hour ago. He's like, you gotta hear this. And I was thinking it was something like going on with my love, like some like update of like, someone died, or I love that it's someone died, or there's like a rumor about like my crush or something, or my crush reached out to him and was like, I need to talk to, like, that's my first thought, was like, a boy likes me. And so Andrew's like, Nikki, you gotta hear this. And I'm like, what? And he's like, these voicemails. And I'm like, what? And he's like, Andrew has a way of just talking about something that he knows he's been talking about it. Like, he's in his own mind, and then he thinks you've been in his mind with him. So he's like, you got to hear this. The voice memos. We weren't even talking about fan voice memos. Like, this was totally out of context. And I go, I don't know what you're saying. He's like, our fans, they left us some voice memos. You got to hear this. I'm crying, man. And I go, really? Is that funny? And he's like, no, it's like, it's so nice. And I was like, I can't handle an emotional cry right now. And when people tell me how much the show means to them and how much things I've done have meant to them, it gets me. But I don't like to go to bed feeling like when you tell me how much the show means to you, I'm so happy that you feel happy, but I'm not like, I don't feel better about myself because I brought that on. It's not going to make me sleep better. I'm so happy that I want others to be happy, but I don't ever go, I'm the source of all of this and I'm amazing. Whereas I think Andrew gets a lot of self-esteem from these voice memos. And I want to tell you that they mean to me, like, I want everyone to be happy and I love hearing people happy and it touches me and I feel things emotionally, but it's not a boost to my ego. And that's not because I'm better or worse. I honestly wish it were more of a boost to my ego. I could use a little shot in the arm today. All right, let's get into the news and more with Andrew. Here he comes. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Nick.
How'd you sleep last night?
I slept good. Third time's a charm. Let them know. Let them know. We tried to do this twice before for about 2.5 minutes.
And yeah, that's true.
It didn't work out, but now we're back. As you know,
you went to bed last night. You came to my room to tell me to listen to a voicemail.
Yeah, so we got these new things, the Speak Pipe. Where people go, what is the website, Noah?
No, you just go to our Instagram. The link is in the bio of our Instagram, Nikki Glaser Pod, and you can leave us a voice memo that Andrew will listen to. And I will listen to the ones that people tell
can
me
we
listen
play
to.
It? Can you listen to it?
Yes.
Before you judge it?
Yeah, I can listen to it.
Andrew, it's part of listener mail.
Oh, it's part of listener mail. We're okay. Getting to it later today. Right.
Are you going
to
play this one now?
Wait, no, we have to have this discussion offline.
This is a disaster.
I mean,
things are falling apart.
You kind of have to send Noah what you want to talk about with listener mail.
Yeah, I know. It's a very early pod. I would have done it if it was at 8:15.
We can talk about the voice memo though. What did this voice memo specifically?
So I was expecting it. This is the thing. I was expecting to listen to these voice memos where like, oh, I take shits outside, or you know, just a bunch of silly, or maybe a crazy person that wants to suck your feet. Like, that's what I thought I was getting. I thought I was getting silly.
That'll make me cry.
Make him cry.
Well, so, yeah, I thought it would be just people telling funny stories, but it's people being sincere.
Oh, my God. This girl was so sincere about having suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
And because I'm so funny, it changed her life, and I'm the best. No. Obviously, she was having suicidal thoughts. It was amplifying during COVID, during the pandemic. And our podcast is like therapy to her. And the fact that we can talk about it so openly and even joke about it has allowed her to become more comfortable with where she's at. And her tone and her voice was just so sincere. You just don't get it. And I think when you're just talking to a recorder where you don't really know people might be talking, I don't know. It was just so beautiful. Aww. And I'm literally like sobbing last night.
Sobbing.
What? And it might have been about, you know, like my mom on the beach, but.
Oh!
No.
Like that's a sob. Like a sob. When people go up sobbing, you need to at least make the sound once.
I might have done that.
You need to do that. I can't even do it right now because my throat hurts.
I used to do that with my parents' divorce. When they were going through a divorce, I would look in the mirror. And I'd go, why are they doing this, God? And I would like force out the cry. Aww. Like, because I was like, this is what my body should be doing. While staring at myself in the mirror.
I know, that's why I can't cry a lot of times, is because I just know that it looks so, like, I know that I look cute and like sad. And then I know that people, because crying like elicits sympathy in others. And it can be manipulative. Obviously, there are guys that are like, I can't take a girl crying. I'll give you whatever I want. You want, like, crying for me, because it's such a manipulative tool, or can be used that way, or I used it as a kid to like get things that I wanted that then would be, and then I realized it doesn't get you anything, because my parents would be like, what are you throwing yourself on the floor for? You're ridiculous. What, just ignore her, EJ. We're not dealing with this. So then I learned that crying gets you nothing. So I just don't cry, because it's just like, it feels, first of all, like I'm being fake and I'm using it as a tool, even when it's real. And then when I'm by myself, oh my God, it feels really ridiculous to cry. I have to get permission to cry. I text my friends, because I just went through a breakup, and or a heartbreak, I should say. And you were never mine, never mine. You can't be going through a breakup if they were never yours. But someone I loved, it ended. And I was so sad about it and wanted to cry. But because it was never a real thing, I didn't feel like I had a right to cry. Like, I didn't know this person that long. I didn't, all these things. And I wrote my friend Robin one night when I was in bed, because I was trying to cry about it around you, and you were kind of like, just like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. And I just didn't want to hear it's going to be okay. Cause sometimes when you cry, you just want to hear like, it's the way you're feeling right now. Let's just say in the present. And I don't want to hear it's going to be okay, because that means we're not going to get back together, or like, I'm going to eventually get over this. And I don't want to hear, like, when you're going through a breakup, you don't want to hear this won't last, you'll get over him or whatever. You're like, no, I want only to hear that he'll come back to me. Or, I just want to hear that I can cry right now. So I remember I texted, I've done this a couple times now. I went up in my bedroom. Noah, you helped me cry one time, but this was another time when I had already used you that day and used up my Noah lets me cry points. And then I went upstairs to our bedroom, or to my bedroom, and it came in, and I texted Robin, and she was busy with something. And I was like, I just really need to cry. And she was like, then do it. And I was like, do I have permission to cry of this? Like, is this a thing that you think, like, if you were in the same circumstance, you would probably like sob about this? And she was like, oh, absolutely. You totally can cry. And then for whatever reason, getting that text, I was just like, ah! And she was like, do I need to call you? And I go, no, I just needed permission. And then I've done it to Anya since, like, when I can cry now alone. If I text my friends and they say, yes, I would be crying over this, you're not crazy to cry over this, because I feel stupid when I cry.
So you need permission from friends.
And to come. Yeah. Yeah, literally, I need someone to tell me I can come and cry.
So this is why you have 15 best friends. You call 8 to cry, 7 to come. I get it. And that's all within an hour. No, I get that 1,000,000%. Like, yeah. Dude, I feel so ridiculous when I'm crying. Even last night when I cried, like, I don't cry. And I never really cried as a kid for things like, I want that toy because my brother has that toy. Yeah. I don't remember ever doing that. I really don't.
You must have learned early on it didn't work.
Yeah, I probably realized it didn't work. I remember one time I asked for cleats, but I was already like 13 or 14, from my dad. And he goes, I pay child support to your mom. That money should go to your cleats. And I go, it could have probably been easier if you just gave me $40 for cleats. And the next thing I know, I'm using hand-me-downs. My dad's a doctor. I'm using hand-me-downs from my friend.
I mean, it's just so wild that
that I know that. Like, that, yes. That a kid should not know about child support payments and alimony,
yes,
and stuff like that, especially if they're not getting paid by their mom. I mean, hook me up, mom.
I mean, he's right, though. Why didn't you ask your mom for cleats?
I was probably afraid. Or she probably said she had no money. Even though she was going on trips to India. Oh. I don't know. Things were weird.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Yeah, crying is a weird one. Like, so last night, how did it, you came to me because you wanted to like share the cries, and I like shut you down through my door. I'm like, good night. I can't. I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to listen to a voicemail about a girl's suicidal thoughts. Even though, listen, I get those all the time. And like, thank you. I am going to listen to your voice memo. And or your voice message, and I am not dismissing it at all. Like, I'm so glad that we give you permission to feel the way you're feeling, because everyone's allowed. No one can help their feelings. Like, that's
the thing that I try to stress. I'm not dismissing the suicidal thought, girl, but Andrew, your emotions definitely dismissed.
No, I'm not dismissing them at all. I just didn't want, I didn't feel like I needed to nurture you. Like, you weren't going through pain. You were just like, like you could do that on your own. And I was like already, like, I was getting ready to masturbate. I just couldn't.
I was in a weird state.
You were, you had a lot of moments. Remember last night when you interrupted my dad in the middle of the story?
Funny.
My parents came over last night, and so did my
so
my parents, my sister, my brother-in-law, and their two kids all came over for dinner, and then we watched the reality show that we shot. I shot a pilot for a reality show a couple months ago, or before Cayman Islands, and then here in St. Louis, and we all watched the screening of it. It was so good, by the way. I think
did a great job.
I think it's going to happen, but we all watched. But beforehand, we were all like talking. Like around my kitchen island, and
wait, can you set it up though? That story. You you asked a question.
Oh yeah, I asked Andrew a question for a joke. I'm like, hey, I need like a punchline for this bit for the thing I'm shooting tomorrow, and that was like 10 minutes before. And then we had moved
ADD brain,
to so many different subjects. And then my dad is in the middle of like a story, and my dad gets interrupted all the time because he lives with people who are all like me and women, and so he and my dad tells long stories. My dad's stories they're a lot.
They have paragraphs.
They all start in Cincinnati and they all end in Cincinnati. My dad has so many stories and we've heard most of them, but this was one I hadn't heard and I was actually like present and listening to it and enjoying it. And then my dad was like in the middle of like a sentence and Andrew just blurts out, what did you blurt out?
Hey, why not the girl from Theranos?
Oh yeah. Like, why not the girl? What about Elizabeth Holmes? Like, totally. I mean, this was a 10 minute ago thing that I had asked him, and it was so funny because we all stopped and I was just like,
you were staring at me. I was like, wow, okay, don't judge the joke. Like, I thought you were judging my joke.
My dad's in the middle of a story. I was trying to be very nice about it because I understand what your brain was doing, and I understand my dad can be such a jerk about being interrupted. So I was trying to like keep the tension down, but it was wild the fact that you just like were in your own world so much.
Can we talk though? His story was about selling an awning, and then he told the story, and no one was that impressed with the story. Like, he should have been okay with being interrupted for that thing.
But he was in the middle. But his stories are all the story about the selling an awning. It's always about people who are fans of mine. Like, how they at first they're like, I don't want to buy this awning, and then my dad will go like, oh, you have a TV? I see. My dad sells awnings door to door. My dad will shoehorn that his daughter is on TV in any way. He's like, oh my God. Well, I see you got a doorknob. You know, sometimes my daughter touches those. My daughter's Nikki Glaser. Like, he'll literally go like,
I think the person goes, Nikki Glaser's dad / awning man.
I want to get him a t-shirt that says my daughter is famous. Ask me about it because and then it should say my daughter as a St. Louisan, a local St. Louisan, you probably don't know who my daughter is because most people don't here in this town. But my dad gets pissed when people don't know who I am. He loves it when people do. And he will tell everyone about me. And, you know, that's very sweet. And he should be proud of me. But his anger when people don't understand that I'm famous or they don't care and they're not like, they don't go, oh, my God, she's like, my family has always had a real big issue with friends and family not being impressed by things. Like, they want everyone to go like, that's so cool. And if they don't, I just go, okay, cut those people out of your life. You depend on friends and family being enthusiastic about the achievements of your children. And when they're not, instead of bitching about those people constantly, get them out of your life and just know that you need friends to do that so that you're not disappointed chronically. Does that make sense?
It makes a ton of sense. It just, you know, he's proud of you at the end of the day. And the back of the shirt should be like, oh, I also have another daughter who's a teacher who really cares about her children.
And an amazing mom.
Yeah,
and
it's a great balance I have. Like the longest t-shirt.
Yes. And he always wears a backpack. Because that has my daughter, like, has one of my shows.
With pins of your face.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Here we go. News time.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Ooh, last day before the weekend. I know everyone's real excited. The COVID vaccines are out there, so everyone's going to probably get their things wet out there. It's going to be pretty great. I hope you're having all the funs and all the swells.
But their things wet?
Yeah, genitals.
Oh, got it.
Because that's what's happening.
What happened there?
My stomach.
On your, no, you're not.
Oh.
Your stomach. stomach. I put it at your knuckle. Your knuckle. Did you punch something?
I've been working out. I do push-ups on my knuckles, and then I did boxing, and then my
your knuckle is gone.
Same with this one.
Why? Ew! It looks like you picked a wart off. That looks like a clean pick. I wish that's the kind of.
Like, we'll put it up, poop knucks. We'll put it up on the stories, and I'll show you.
I mean, no one needs to see that. He just has knuckle. He has like knuckle burns. Did that hurt when it happened?
No, it hurts after when I ripped the skin off and ate it.
Yeah.
Gross. Did we just jinx a yum 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 yum?
Yeah, jinx. Buy me a Coke. Buy me.
Is that what you would do?
Jinx. Buy me a Coke.
I thought jinx. I can't get out of jinx until Noah says my name.
What? Why Noah? So there's always another person? Or me, Andrew? Wait, four times? Andrew, 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 Andrew?
Full name.
Andrew Collin?
Okay.
Andrew
Todd Collin? First story. Oh, here we God. Go. Seagulling is a new term.
Seagulling.
To describe dating trend where you don't want to be with the person.
Where you talk to Jason Segel and then he kind of drops off.
Sounds personal.
I got seagulled.
You got seagulled, boy.
No, we seagulled each other. Go on.
I heard that crying. No, you didn't. Right. You didn't cry. You didn't cry. Yeah, you didn't cry. You didn't cry. You didn't cry loud.
No, no. There's no story there.
All right. So seagulling is a new term where.
It really does sound like if whatever happened between you and Jason Segel is seagulling. Did I get seagulled by Segel?
You got Bones.
Okay. No, I didn't.
Bobby Bones.
Oh, no. No, we don't say that
we
name.
We don't say his name.
Well, now you did.
Where
it's
you
out of the bag.
Don't wanna be, so it's when you don't want to be with a person, but you also don't want them to be with anyone else.
Okay, so why is reason seagulls you're with them, fuck seagulls do that?
I guess I don't know why it's called seagulling. I mean, they could deep throat big things.
Seagulls are amazing, and I love those birds. I think they're so cute. But I don't get why seagulls. So I guess seagulls are like if you are eating something that, and they want it, and then you go, I don't want it. They wait, no. If they don't want it, and you take the crumb. Let's say you throw some bread to a seagull, okay. And then it picks at it and it goes, I don't like it. Oh, there's an amazing TikTok of a seagull being fed. I showed you that one, right? God, I wish. Remember when he's feeding the seagull? That guy through the window. There's a TikTok series.
Oh, yeah,
he's like, day three of feeding my pet seagull. And the seagull is through the window. And it keeps going like, give me some food, bitch. And the guy is feeding it. And it's like, I will kill you someday. And this bird just has this like voice of a woman that's going to murder him. But okay, so if you feed a seagull, it doesn't want it. And then you go, fine, I'm taking that piece of bread back. The seagull will be like, no, I want it. You can't have it. And it just throws it and it still won't eat it. And it like just like takes it back and it like throws it in the sand. So you can't have it.
Or it produces a new movie. Okay, let's Jason Segel callbacks every damn tongue in cheeks. Okay, so but why do humans? So if you're afraid of if you don't love someone but you don't want them to be with anyone else, you're probably afraid of being alone. One, right?
Well, I think it's just a matter of. Yeah, I mean, this is deep, deep insecurity. You know, we're talking the attachment book, attached. Like that's. That's insecure avoidance.
Anxious attached.
Anxious. Okay. Anxious attached. Yes. Okay. So, I mean, this is a very common feeling. I feel like I feel this with like until I recently fell in love, I didn't want to be with my ex-boyfriend because he doesn't want to be with me mainly. But like, I mean, you don't want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you either. But like.
That happens a lot.
What do you mean? Being with someone that
wanting to be with someone that doesn't want to be with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I understand that. Like you want them to want to be with you more than like, so I understand that. Like, but if someone doesn't want to be with you, you don't want to be with someone who doesn't like you. You just want them to change and want to be with you. So it's not like you really want them to be with you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. But this person doesn't want to be with the person, but stays with them. Even though that person wants to be with them. That's what seagulling is.
Wait, seagulling is staying with a person?
Yeah.
Just to keep them away from other people?
I don't like you, but okay. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
You like me a lot. Mm-hmm. I decide to stay with you just because I don't want you to be with anyone else, not because I like you.
Oh, you stay with me. Okay. I could, yeah, I mean, I think most people are in that relationship. Like, so many people in marriages I mean, sometimes even the way the people closest in my life in relationships talk to each other horrifies me. And I go, you guys don't like each other. You're abusive to each other in the way you talk to each other. There is resentment with every word you say to one another. Every eye roll. Eye rolling is hatred. Like, it's dismissive. It's hatred. And if someone's doing it to you, get the fuck out of the relationship or fix it, because that person does not like you deep down and they're going to take it out on you. And so I think that most relationships are this.
Selfish to not let that person go. I mean,
because most people,
you're afraid of being alone
in relationships long term, really resent the other person, but they're too scared to be alone themselves, or they're too scared for that person to find better than them, because it would then reaffirm that the person themselves is not the best, this gets back all to like the idea that like, if I was with a guy and he cheated on me or wanted to cheat on me, go. I don't want to keep you. You don't like me. Why do people want to be with someone who doesn't like them?
But so many times too, like, people will go, well, I never liked him. I don't want to be with someone else. And then you let them go be with someone else. And then you go, oh, but I liked him now, because now they have value, because I see someone
that's an great insecure person. Them.
That happens all the time.
I mean, there's 0.001% of people actually, not that much, but I think it's like 2% of people actually like themselves enough that if someone didn't like them, they would go, okay, bye. Because it's so, our culture breeds us to be so insecure and have such low self-esteem and be so dependent on relationships to feel like complete, that so many people stay in things. My sister last night even said, we were talking about the characters on Summer House. And she goes, I don't think the so-and-so are going to last. And I go, still successful though, even if, like, I still think their relationship is great, even if they break up. And she's like, and I go, and by the way, most couples don't last. So it's not like, is every couple, unless you die, going, I love you, Cynthia, in a nursing home holding hands, is every relationship a failure? Like, people that are in 2-year relationships. I want to be married for 2 years. I have been very clear about that. I want to, this past relationship I was in, I was like, I would like to marry you for 2 years. I don't mind getting divorced. I'm going to have a prenup. I'm going to make it so it is very easy. And I know that people are like, yeah, right, Nikki, it's not as easy as you think. So maybe I won't get married, but a 2-year relationship is what I'm looking for. I don't think that I have to, relationships for them to be successful do not need to be forever. Let someone go once you're done, once you have outgrown each other. It's okay to, it doesn't mean you failed.
You should marry like an 80-year-old or someone with a terminal disease. So at 2 years, they go, I loved you, Nikki. So you get the best of both worlds.
I get that, like, yeah, that kind of dying death rattle.
And you're like, yeah, thanks. And you're like fine and healthy.
Well, I realize that no one in my family will ever think whatever relationship I am in is legitimate, because they all think that marriage, number one, is like the key to being like, that means that you're the most in love. And by the way, I don't need their approval for like whoever I love. But I will never win in terms of like that you're in the best relationship, because I will not ever be able to get in a relationship as long as my sister and Matt. They've been together for like 15 years of this, like so long.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'll never, no matter what relationship I'm in, it will never be as strong and as deep as ones that it's just, to me, that's bullshit. I don't care how long you've been together. There are couples that have been together 50 years and they fucking hate each other. And a relationship I had for a month is deeper love than you felt. Now, it's not deeper connection of like, we've been through a lot, but this whole debate of like, well, you're not married, so you're not like as in love. Oh, you don't know each other as long. You haven't been in love. Like, Romeo
kids.
And Juliet is based on people who knew each other for like, 10 days or something. And they were 15. Yet that's the greatest love story. Why do we look at that as the greatest love story? Yet we dismiss any teen love. Love is love. I don't know what my point is here.
Reminds me of the Beatles only being together for 7 years, and they're the best band. You know what I mean?
Right. They were only together 7 years.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I think they were maybe successful for 7 years, because 1964, and then I think they broke up in 70. Okay, maybe you're right. Wow.
So Japanese researchers, next story.
Let's get to it.
Japanese researchers discovered that men with large noses tend to pack larger penises as well.
I know, so I heard this was all over Twitter.
Scientists examined the bodies of 126 middle-aged men. deceased middle-aged men. They laid the cadavers down and extended their penises to approximate the length when erect.
Uh-huh.
Then they compared the measurement. They found that men with 2.2-inch noses clocked in at 5.3-inch penises, mm-hmm. and men with 1.8-inch inch noses had penises that measured up to 4.1 inches. Both those penises aren't that long, so mm-hmm. I don't really but
you know. Always kind of thought that, like, if you have a, like, your features tend, your appendages tend
should we measure my nose right now and you could tell me how long my dick is? How long do you think an iPhone is?
I don't know. I can see your nose. Like, the fact that you're holding an iPhone up to your nose doesn't tell me anything new. Like,
but we know the length of an iPhone is 6 inches.
I know what your penis looks like based on your hands. I have to tell you. Like, I could probably, if I saw your penis,
draw
I would
my
not,
penis. I mean, I've described my penis I enough know, to you.
Your hands, a guy's hands. I had a friend one time who was a wardrobe assistant on my show, Not Safe, and she said, the way to tell a guy's penis is always just look at his hands, because their penis looks the same as their hands do. Like, a man's hands compared to, like, an average man's hands, that's the way your penis looks. Your penis looks the way your hand looks compared to other men's hands, like an average hand. So your penis is a little bit stubbier. There's a stubbiness to it. It probably looks like your thumb a lot, but like thicker than your thumb, but like it has like that same coloring and probably is a little bit like, I guarantee you it looks like your hand. I know what your penis looks like.
I wish I just had a thumb for a penis. But
I bet I could draw it. I bet I know exactly.
All right, let's see. Let's draw it.
Flaccid, here. What it looks like.
I'll get a pen.
And it is, I think that it's not flaccid, it's flaccid. Isn't that funny that we say it?
Really?
Yeah, and we say culinary instead of culinary, and it's supposed all to be right, culinary. That is the smallest piece of paper. You don't even want me to like... You just literally got out a post-it note for me to draw the scale version of your penis. So, well, that tells me a lot. And it was one of those post-it notes you use to, like, bookmark things. No, go in that drawer over here. I think there's, like, envelopes. I think it'll fit on an envelope, right? Okay. I'll draw it.
I really gave up the size.
You got, like, a tiny, like, a receipt, a little credit card receipt.
That small.
It was very...
All right, so is this erect?
No, this is soft.
Oh, no, do erect.
No, soft. I mean, I can't... This is still not... Okay.
Do erect.
No, I want to do soft, because I feel like that soft, it's like...
I mean, who do you think I am?
No, hold on.
Oh.
I'm just getting, like, hold on, I'm just doing, I think it's that soft. That.
I mean, a soft dick is all over the place.
It is?
Yeah, I would say that's.
No, it's probably like this.
I don't think it's that wide, to be honest.
Really? Because your thumb looks so wide. Your thumb is like a Megan Fox thumb, if you guys don't know what that is.
No, my penis, I describe it, it's like very Timothy Chalamet. It looks like Timothy Chalamet was a penis. It's like.
Skinny?
It's skinny. It's not that long.
I would have never thought that. So it doesn't look like your hands at all.
It's very handsome, though. I got to be honest.
Do you bite its nails, too? Do you chew the skin off it?
Well, the Demoyle did when I was born.
Ew, yeah.
Rabbi jokes. My penis is very handsome. I have a handsome penis, but it's just very proportioned. But the
handsome, because it doesn't have any discolorations.
There's no discoloration.
Like,
there's no weirdness to it. There's no, like, you would enjoy, I think most women.
Next story.
All right.
I'm just done talking about your penis. It's too early. I know I brought it up. I'm bringing it down.
All right. Jody Turner Smith, 34, says relationship with husband Joshua Jackson, 42, began when they had a one-night stand after meeting at a party. The actress told...
Like, this story, you could just go, Joshua Jackson met his wife after a one-night stand. Like, that would be a way to tell the story that wasn't Jody Turner Smith, 34, met her husband Joshua... Like, nobody knows who Jody Turner Smith is based on name, so you could take that headline and just make it different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't that a way to paraphrase it, you think? That would be easier?
For sure.
Okay, so, but just, you know, you don't need, I just think they would be easier for people to understand instead of being like Jody Turner Smith. It's just a little bit of a, so Joshua Jackson, Pacey, from Dawson's Creek,
yeah.
met his wife.
Yeah, so he met his wife at a party. She pretended like not to see him, like played a little hard to get. And then she was unimpressed with his first line. Next thing you know, they were banging.
What was his first line?
I don't.
She didn't say.
Yeah, she didn't say.
She wasn't that impressed. And then they banged after that party.
I guess the story is interesting because she's admitting that they fucked on the first night. Is that why?
The interesting thing for me was that she noticed him and she really wanted him. And then when he paid attention to her, she ignored him. And he followed her around the party. And then by the end of the night, they connected.
And then they had sex the first night.
You do two things with celebrities. You either go, oh my God, you're Nikki Glaser. Or you go, hey, I'm Andrew. And you're like, hi, I'm Nikki. And you're like, oh, hi, Nikki. Like, they either go insanely overboard or you go insanely, I don't think this is a
celebrity thing as much as it was she liked him thing. So if you meet a celebrity that you like, and you're not trying to fuck them, obviously just tell them that you like them because every celebrity wants to be liked. That's why we get into it. So don't ever try to be cool. Like you don't know. I found out people on set for the show we did in the Cayman Islands, they later texted me like, so good getting to know you. Or like, it was so good. Like I got a lot of texts of like goodbye texts, you know? And one of them was Dave and his wife Dave texted me.
Oh yeah.
From the set. And he goes, and by the way, my wife and I are huge fans. And I was really excited to meet you. I'm like, you seemed like you didn't know who I was. And it's like, that would have made me go, oh, that's like, that's really nice that they know me. It won't make me like you less if you're a huge fan of me. And I think I'm not alone here with celebrities get into this because we want people to like us. So,
but would you be more turned off if a guy, if you met a guy at a party and it felt very fandy?
No, romantically, I would want, I would do the same thing that she did. And, but that's for if I'm trying to attract a man because I want to be in feminine energy, which is not trying at all and being very like coy. And I would want a man to be like can't stop looking at me, like I would do the exact same thing. Like when I met John Mayer, I was just like, oh, hey, you know, like I wasn't like, oh, I love you. But if I met, you know,
when you met Dave Matthews,
Dave Matthews, because I'm not trying to fuck Dave Matthews. I'm not.
But you would.
I know, but it's not like a possibility. He's married with kids. I mean, that's not something I would if he was like, oh, it's one night. Like, you know, like, but I want to be with Dave Matthews. And since he's married with kids, I can't. And so it's
what if he closed the door at Sirius and played Say Goodbye to you and said, look, don't worry about my wife and my kids.
I literally just got turned on even thinking about the idea of having sex with Dave Matthews to the Say Goodbye live at Luther College that he taped in 1996 when I was in sixth grade.
You're like, we can't do this, Dave. And then he's like,
it's in one of the rooms at Sirius because that's where I met him. Those are such cold, bright rooms. I don't know. It wouldn't be comfortable. And I would feel like anyone could walk in any second.
It'd be that sex where his jeans would be around his like calves. And so you would hear the jeans going, shh. Like,
yes, yes.
And it would just be like a little bit sweaty and just like probably doggy style. And then you'd be done. And you're like, did I just fuck Dave Matthews? Like, it wouldn't be like,
it would be worth it.
It'd be kind of hot.
I mean, it would just be for the story. And it would be like bucket list, you know, like hosting the MTV Movie Awards.
We should do a bucket list where we fuck 10 people, 10 kind of occupations before we die.
We should do a list of like people, celebrities we'd have sex with. Like
our top one, bottom one.
Well, I told Conan that him and Dave Matthews were my hall passes, even though I don't have a boyfriend or husband to have hall pass with. It was
so
weird.
Funny to tell someone that they're your hall pass.
It came up naturally in conversation. We gotta go get a COVID test downstairs. Let's get to the sports
Conan
story.
Test. All right, here we go. Hey, here we go.
Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
Ooh, sounds more thrilled every week. All right, Drew Robinson makes San Francisco Giants AAA roster after losing his eye in a 2020 suicide attempt.
So he shot himself
in the face. Then he didn't call the cops till the next day. He called 911 for himself. He lost his eye, and now he's playing pro baseball. Like, I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, he shot himself, right? I don't know the exact story.
How did he shoot himself? Like, suicide?
He tried to kill himself and he shot himself, and then he was he called 911 the next day.
What?
Yeah, for himself.
So he had a no eye for a whole day?
I don't. I gotta read the whole story. On May 13th, it comes out on ESPN. Like this, it's gonna be like a 30 for 30 kind of thing. Uh-huh. So then he calls. He survives. Mm-hmm. Loses his eye, and he was a hell of a baseball player before that, right?
Yeah.
And so then he comes back, and now he's playing AAA baseball with one eye. He's missing. He's a lefty. He's missing his right eye.
Oh my God!
But I mean, this just shows you, like, you know, if you're in the moment, like things can get better. You know, like. Don't just because it's happening right then. Like, I mean, when people survive suicide so many times, right? They're just so.
Yeah.
They realize that, okay, maybe I didn't want to kill myself. This was in the moment. Mm-hmm. And this guy obviously made the absolute most of it.
But, yeah. I mean, I don't want to get into it, but they often find, you know, people that hang themselves, they find that they're like trying to get the noose, like they find them struggling with it. Or, you know, the people that have survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge have told, like, as soon as they stepped a foot off, they were like, what am I doing? That might be your body's natural response to want to survive, even though the fact that you're, yeah, so that could be that. But then I have heard stories of people waking up in the ICU after an attempt and the nurse goes, you're alive. And they go, fuck. And they go, I have to do it again. Like, I've heard all the stories. Yeah. So if you're struggling with suicide, fucking talk to someone. Like, there's so many people you can talk to. There's helplines, all that stuff. But
and leave a voice note because I'll cry about it.
So this guy, I, you know, I'm really happy for this guy to have gotten his life back together in a way that he can play again. I hope he's in a better place. I hope he doesn't try it again, because these things sometimes can go that way.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't make the actual pro team, if he just stays in minor leagues.
He's playing in the pro league.
In AAA, which is right below.
Before the eye thing, he was playing AAA?
This is the thing. I need to know more about the story, and I apologize. So I'm going to...
This is a failed sports moment. It just turned into a Andrew's suicide news moment. But, you know,
I could learn more about it, and we can talk about it next. All right, okay, this is the guy.
Okay. Aww. Here. I could literally skim this right now and learn more.
I haven't seen this story yet.
So. Okay, so yeah, he... In a 2020 suicide attempt, oh my God, it was 2020, Drew Robinson makes San Francisco Giants AAA roster. AAA is right underneath.
Yeah, it's one below.
Okay. For the Sacramento River Cats.
But like you said, like him losing his eye, he might have, you know, gotten even better because he worked even harder. It's like when someone, you know, they tear their ACL and they work their ass off to get back and they're actually healthier and they have a better knee after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, like, it sounds like this attempt really helped him because he attempted suicide on April 16th, 2020, which surprised his friends and family who had always seen Robinson as the wisecracking, good-natured life of the party, which is oftentimes that what happens. Four surgeries later, they removed the bullet, they removed the eye, his eye, and... he says that he's now rebuilding mentally with regular therapy, meditation, and medication. I love to hear that. Wow.
Well, I would like to know what his history was, like how far he made it before he decided to shoot himself.
And I always want to know what the thing is that goes, the guy goes, I'm going to do this. Like, is it, did they get drunk and just like got some, saw a picture of their ex on Instagram with a new boyfriend? Like these things that, people finally go, I'm going to do it. It's just so motivated by this moment. It's like that song, the U2 song that was written about the lead singer that committed suicide of, I forget who Bono wrote the song about it, but it's stuck in a moment and you can't get out of it. That's a song about his friend who committed suicide because he was just stuck in a moment that you can just get past that moment and you won't want to do this. Like, just hold on. So to all our listeners that have those thoughts or anyone thinking about those things, I've thought about those things before too. And it's hard. It's, you can't help where your mind goes and sometimes, but you can, there is always someone who will talk to you about it. And you, like, if you're brave enough to try to take your own life, you can be brave enough before you do that to maybe have hope that someone might talk to you and make you feel differently if you wait. So let's get to listener mail. All right. This one comes in from Sarah H. Oh, it's Sarah with an H, but the last part of the it's either Sarah with an H or it's Sarah with an X, capital H at the end of Sarah. Okay, so we got a voice message from Sarah. Let's listen. Our voice message.
Hey, Nikki and Andrew. Hope y'all are having all the swells. I'm having all the swells on my end. So I've heard a lot of discussion between you guys about how Andrew has some trouble pronouncing things. And I just am here to let you know, Andrew, I also have a lot of issues pronouncing things too. But it feels like I have a few instances that are a little bit more humiliating. In my past, I have publicly pronounced Santa Monica. Damn it. There I go. I've pronounced Santa Monica as Santa Monica, and I've also pronounced Yosemite as Yosemite. And if I think of any others, I'll call back. But those are my two most egregious offenses. So,
Sarah. All right,
y'all have the swells.
Oh, that made me so swells. Santa Monica, I will never say the other one again. Santa Monica?
Dude.
Yosemite? Yasmite.
Dude, I love. Thank you so
Sarah,
much for calling in. I feel less alone, and you know, it's nice to know there's others out there.
I need to know, Sarah. I need to know when you said Santa Monica and what and what was the circumstance and like context of like if I heard someone say Santa Monica, I would just go, wait, what? Like, I want to know what, when you said it and how shocked people were and confused. That's so funny.
Like, is it considered a speech impediment when you say words wrong, or is everyone else wrong?
It's not a speech impediment. I think it's just a cute little thing. At least when Sarah does, it's adorable. But remember that one time, Noah, when one of the higher ups at Comedy Central pronounced it Chipotle. He called it, and I go, and it's someone that he was like above me. He was like a boss, and I go, Chipotle. I go, I can't. I go, has no one?
We were at a big dinner.
With a bunch. Like, it was all people that like worked for this guy, and he was very nice, so I knew he could take it. And I go, who has let you get through life and not corrected Chipotle? Because I know you've used that before. People aren't being honest with you, sir. I said, it's Chipotle. And he was a little embarrassed, but I'm like, this is what happens when you're a boss. People let you say, I'm going to the Chipotle in Santa Monica. And last summer I vacationed with my family in Yosemite.
And everyone else is going, I can't wait to go to Chipotle too, man.
Yeah, they start saying,
like, yeah,
too.
I love Chipotle. Yeah,
oh,
Chipotle's great.
And then they talk about you behind your back. I needed him to know, so he knows.
So how did he react? What did you say?
He was a little embarrassed, but he was laughing. I just go, this, and I made fun. I go, this is what happens when you're the boss. Like, you think of all the other things you're saying wrong.
I mean, I think a lot of people say Chipotle or Chipotle.
Yeah, but it was wrong. It was Chipotle. It was something very, very wrong. Let's hear a voice memo from Liz.
Hello, besties. This is Liz. I've had three recording errors with this, so I just want to get to the point right now.
Get it.
Love the show. Love the pod. I crave Monday through Thursdays being able to listen to you guys, so thanks a lot. My question is Andrew going to be Andrew's on tour going. With you, Nikki, when you start touring this fall? I'm super excited. And I think that'd be super fun. Super cool. If he comes. No, it'd be really cool. Not cool.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, I just wanted to share that I had a little like fan moment when Andrew with the blue check mark, he responded to my Insta DMs, and I'm totally aware that he only did it because he was on his flight from the Cayman Island and he was super bored, but I still appreciate the responses. It made my night.
That's so nice.
Thank you, Andrew. Aww. Love you, besties.
Love you, Liz.
Man, these voice notes are like, are making.
Yeah, they're all in support
again.
Of Andrew. This is a little booster. No, I love it. No, that's so sweet. And yes, Andrew will be on tour, Liz. All my tour dates for now are, like, we're adding more. But you can check out If I'm Going to Your City at nikkiglaser.com/tour. And Andrew will be on all of those. And we will be making a very pro besties show with consideration that, you know, podcast listeners will be there. So I'm so grateful for you all, and I hope you can make it.
You think when we walk out, people are going to go, "Kah."
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm definitely going to reference some things that besties will only know, and the rest of people will be very confused. They'll just be like, "What was that sound she just made?" I'll be
I'm afraid to do that, because then people we're just going to realize no one listens to the podcast.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and they'll be like, "No, the besties are going to come out. I feel it
for sure."
Thank you so much for your voice memos. Keep leaving them for us. Go to our Instagram page, and the link in the Instagram bio is going to take you to that, and you can hear your own voice on our podcast. Thanks so much to Liz and Sarah for those. So yeah, sweet.
Let us know more words that you say wrong out there, people, because it's the best. It really
Andrew, final thought for the show. What's your day looking like?
I'm going to go to that workout class at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to hang out with the director of your pilot that you shot for your reality show.
I don't think
show.
I'm going to be hanging out, but
I think I am.
Yes, because I am working all day.
And I'm just going to go into this weekend of, you know, we're going to LA on Saturday, so I'm going to get a couple more days with my girl, my lady. Hopefully we'll have some weird new sex while looking in the mirror.
What?
Yeah, she has a sick mirror, and your boy, it's one of the best things that I've
looking
never
at yourself.
I don't like seeing myself, but I like seeing her in the mirror, because it's almost like I'm in a porn, kind of, because mm-hmm. I'm disconnected. I'm seeing.
Yeah, you're seeing an image across the room as opposed to
what is in front of you.
Well, you've always kind of said that, like, sometimes when they're like, you're having sex, you can't even process that, like, it's happening to you, and you're like out of body, even though, like, the thing you dream about most is, like, happening to you.
So weird. And then when you see it in the mirror, you're like, holy shit, that's me having sex with that, like, that person's having sex with, like, that.
I mean,
why?
Yes.
I don't deserve that.
So, well, have her send a voice memo in and let us know why. It's so sweet. I'm happy for you.
What are you going to do? I mean, what are your thoughts these days? I mean, you're back in St. Louis. Are you feeling comfortable? Are you feeling happy? Are you feeling like Cayman is, like, you spent 2 months in Cayman out of.
I had spent almost 3 months.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a long, and I spent 2 weeks like alone after it. I miss that life, and I feel good being back in St. Louis, but I also feel a little bit like frustrated with any romantic. I really, really want a boyfriend, or I want a husband at some point in my future. And I'm really, I like know exactly what I want now. And so now I'm kind of like, I need to get that. My life is in order. My career is just solid. I don't really want anything more in my career. It keeps coming, and I'm so grateful. But, like, I am not driven by my career anymore. Like, I'm driven now by, like, intimacy and wanting to find a partner. But it's really frustrating, because on the apps here in St. Louis, there's slim pickings. And I'm frustrated by Raya, which is the other dating app for LA. I'm frustrated by my Instagram, because no one's really sliding in. Like, I don't know. I'm excited to go to LA and, like, work on a new set on this MTV thing and, like, meet new people and, like, trying to find the right one. But it's not so much trying, like, I just have to be open to it, which I really am now. Like, the other day you showed me a picture of a guy that you were like gonna set, they were like, "Hey, my friend lives in LA," and I wasn't attracted to him based on the pictures. Like, he wasn't my type, even though he's an attractive guy. And what did I say to you?
No, you said I was that you would give it a chance, even though the initial attraction might not be there.
Yeah, that's what I've learned, is that I don't know anything. I literally, anyone that I've swiped left on apps, I could fall deeply in love with, because I know now that it's not about, like, the way you look on an app. Like, that is, looks are obviously something, it looks in person means so much more than an app, but no one on an app represents themselves the way that they are. No one.
I guess what you do know about the guy is that he was best friends with me.
Yes.
Like, I vouch for him.
But you've also vouched for people that have been engaged when you vouch for them. Like, I don't really trust your judgment with men.
Wasn't engaged yet. That was one time.
Right.
They were in an open relationship at the time.
Yeah, and he's like, you should date this guy. And then the next day, he literally announced his engagement. I was like, I was scoping this guy yesterday being like, I could date this guy then because you told me.
This is the thing. Then you go, I don't trust you with that. That was one time.
Yeah, one time that you recommended an engaged friend for me to date. You've entertained a couple guys, and then I don't think you and I have the same type in guys for me. Or have the same...
I think I might have better guys for you than you do for yourself.
Possibly. I mean, that generally happens. But for people who, like... Yeah, you... But, I mean... Yeah, I'm open.
You know what happened?
We
became friends too late. If we were friends at like 23,
but I wouldn't have been ready for a relationship. I'm not. I wasn't really ready for one 6 months ago.
I'm just saying I had way more available, like really hot, successful friends for you.
Yeah,
but maybe when they get divorced, if you're listening, guys, get divorced to get with Nikki.
I can't wait for this new batch to come up. I'm 36, so people are getting divorced, which doesn't mean that their relationship with their ex-wife was unsuccessful or not as good. Like, if you get divorced, it didn't mean you failed. I'll say that again. If you break up or get divorced, your relationship is not a failure. Not everything has to last until you're like, I love you, Beatrice, and I'm going to say goodbye to you through this window at a nursing home because of COVID. Like, those are always the relationships we celebrate. It's like, what if they fucking hated each other for 45 years? Like,
date a guy with two kids? Or like with a kid? Yeah.
Oh my God, I'd be all over it because I don't really want kids of my own, but stepkids, I could totally like... If he's like, you know, the type of dad that doesn't really want to see his kids that much, then that's even better. Yes. Stealing you away from your old family. That's the Glazer way. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. That was our week of a show. We will be back next week. You know we will. We'll be in Los Angeles. And
right next to Santa Monica.
Yeah, Santa Monica. And make sure you get tickets to my tour, NikkiGlazer.com/tour, to check out my tour dates and to get tickets. Presale code is one night, all one word. Thank you for listening. We'll see you on Monday. Squirt. Oh, wait.
Oh, jackpot.
I almost said squirt, squirt, jackpot. Whoa, I'm
Should
so
we give
low.
Him one? We could give him one,
yeah,
for
we'll
the,
give you
maybe
a
on
squirt,
the weekend.
Squirt.
Hey, jackpot. Cool.